You know, I was thinking of that song, Standing on the Promises, and it always, the question always is in my mind that I know you've probably heard before, but I think it's accurate. Are you standing on the promises or sitting on the premises? Which one are you really doing in your life? You know, standing on the promises takes our involvement, takes our attitude to be involved. Sitting on the premises, what does that take? Yeah, nothing. Takes no effort whatsoever, but standing takes effort. And it's standing, we can stand on a lot of things, but that doesn't mean they're sturdy. That doesn't mean they're going to last. But standing on God's promises is something that's sure. What are some of the promises this morning that you're glad you can stand on? This isn't a part of anything and wasn't planned, but what are some promises that you're thankful for that you can stand on?
Eternal life.
Eternal life.
Forgiveness.
God's forgiveness.
He won't leave our side.
Peace, that He won't leave our side. I'm going to wait because there's a whole lot more.
Mercy and grace.
The mercy and grace that God shows us.
His love.
He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Annabelle?
He has a thing that's called the Holy Spirit that helps us guide us through life.
The Holy Spirit that helps guide us in our life and in our spiritual understanding. What other promises are you standing on?
He's faithful.
That God is faithful. That we have a home in heaven waiting for us if we have Christ in our heart.
Healing.
The healing that God can provide spiritually and physically both. What else?
The rainbow.
Amen. One of the promises we read about in the Old Testament, and I know the rainbow means a lot of things today that God did not intend. The rainbow means one thing. It's God's promise to us that He won't flood the earth and destroy it again by a flood. Other promises.
Never leave us nor forsake us.
Becky? That He will give us strength. Amen. That He will meet our needs. Not all our wants, but He will meet our needs. That Jesus will come again. It's not a question. It's a statement of fact. That's a promise He gives us. What else? Annabelle?
Once this world is destroyed, that you will create another one after a whole bunch of years.
Yeah, that everything on this earth is going to end, but God's got a plan for beyond that. Absolutely. Dave?
Our name will be wrote in the book of life.
That our name can be written down in the book of life. Another promise from God's word. What else? That when we accept Christ, we become part of a family. We are no longer alone, but we have a big family to love us and to be a part of. What else?
We are made perfect in God's image.
That we are made perfect in God's image. Amen.
Meet our needs.
That God will meet our needs.
Joint heirs with Christ.
That we are joint heirs with Christ. That means that we are brothers and sisters with Christ, and we have an inheritance waiting for us. That God is going to work on us. You need work?
Yes.
Yeah. Turn to the person beside you. Say, you need work. Now, say it with love. All right, look back up here. You did say it with love, right?
Yes.
Because, hey, it is the truth, isn't it? But that is a promise of God that He is faithful to complete the work in us that He began, that He is still working on us. That is a promise of God. What else?
When we trust Him, we won't drown. He's with us.
That when we trust Him, we won't drown. He's with us. We won't be overcome.
God has a plan for everyone.
That God has a plan for us, for our lives. It's not just all the random stuff that happens to us. God's got a plan. Leonard? That God is in control. That is a promise, isn't it?
Amen.
You know, how long could we do this?
An hour.
What's that?
You won't have to preach.
Won't have to preach if we keep doing this? No, we're going to do both. You get both today. But, you know, the simple song, Standing on the Promises, and we can sing it, and that's all great. But I hope we're reminded, what are those promises we're standing on? Because the Bible is so full of them, folks. It is full of promises that God gives us out of His love. And we have named some, but have we named nearly all of them?
No.
No. I know I've read before how many things are promised. People have estimates in the Bible, and I forget what that number is, but it's huge. God's promises to us and to know that God is faithful. What a wonderful thing. And one of his promises that wasn't mentioned, but I think is so important, is that when we pray, if we have Christ in our heart, when we pray to our Father, what happens? He hears us. He hears us. Our prayers do not fall on deaf ears. God hears us. Is that what you believe? And that, folks, is a very important question. Because there are many things that people believe today that are not true. You agree with that?
Yeah.
And there are many things that Satan would like us to believe that are not true. But if we believe in the things we just sang about, if we believe in the things that the Bible teaches, then what we believe is true. And those are the promises we've talked about earlier and all those things that God has for us. So, Serenity, I want to thank you for your desire to share that with us and the challenge that it brings to make sure we know what we believe. Because, you know, think in your life, if someone would just come up and ask you, what do you believe? What are you going to tell them? What would your response to that be?
I don't know. I don't know what I believe.
I hope you would know how to respond. You know, I believe God created us. I believe he had a plan from the beginning and to talk about the things we just sang. Know what you believe. All right. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of James. I shared last week that we might be in James for a couple weeks, and we are going to be in James for a couple weeks. And all of God's Word, it says that all of it is beneficial for us for a lot of different reasons. But, and I say this a lot, I like this book or I like this scripture or that, but James is an interesting book. It is a book that is just full of really practical things for our lives. How, as a Christian, we should put our faith into practice, into action. And we'll read later on in James that it talks about if we don't do that, what good is our faith? If we never use it, if it's never put into action. But James is a lot of practical things. And this morning, we're going to look in James chapter 1. I know we kind of did it out of order because we were in James 2 last week, talking about loving everyone and our reception to people when they walk through the door of the church. But we're going to be in chapter 1 this morning, and we're going to talk about something that I am positive all of you just have down in your life, that spiritually, this is one of those things you can say, oh yeah, I got that one. I'm good in this area. We're going to talk about patience a little bit. What you chuckling for? You know, there are those areas in God's Word where we sometimes say, oh yeah, I'm doing pretty good in that area. You know, there's those things that we talk about that, well, yeah, I'm not doing this or I'm not doing that or I am doing this. But then there are those areas that are kind of a universal challenge. That for just as human beings, as people, the reality is we all struggle with to some degree. And I really think, wouldn't you agree that patience is one of those things? That we struggle with patience? And maybe there are some areas that you're more patient in than other areas. Maybe it's just certain areas you struggle with patience in. But I think patience is a universal thing for human beings that we struggle with. So let's look in James what God's Word has to share. And I'm going to ask if you're in James 1, if you would stand, if you're able, as we read God's Word this morning. James chapter 1, beginning in the first verse. We're not going to read the whole chapter. We're only looking down through verse 17. But James chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, this is what God's Word shares. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven in the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof falls, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you once again for your presence in this place. We thank you for your word that we have to look at, to learn from. And I pray, Lord, that that's exactly what would happen on this day. Lord, you challenge us in your word with some things that you know are difficult for us, and patience is certainly one of those things. But Lord, as we look at this topic this morning, I just pray that you'd help us to understand that you have something you want us to learn from it. There is something that can benefit us in our lives. So Lord, help us to take it in and help us to apply it. So just work in each one of our hearts and lives, and we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated this morning. This morning we're really talking about three things, and you know, you can look at these verses we read, and it seems at first like they cover a lot of different areas. But really it's all centered around a couple of things, and what we're going to talk about this morning is patience, perspective, and praise. Because those things are tied together, and those are things that here in the book of James it is talking about. Patience, perspective, and praise. Because one thing really does lead to another that leads to another. But James, as he writes, the first thing he begins to talk about is something that we probably all have a hard time doing. Look in verse 2. My brethren, that means who? That means all of us. My brethren, count it all joy. So what does joy mean? Let's make sure we're on the same understanding, same page. What does it mean to have joy? Happy. Contentment. Means you're good with it, right? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, or your Bible may say various trials. So the Bible is telling us to be okay with it, to be good with it, to have some joy when you have trials and temptations in your life. How you doing with that? Is it easy? I mean, really, let's think of really what this verse tells us. To have joy, to count it for joy when you have trials and temptations. That, on the face of it, does not make any sense, does it? Does it? Doesn't it fly in the face of what our natural human reaction to trials and temptations is? When you have a trial that you go through in life, what is your natural reaction to that? To get upset? Depression? Anything else? Worry? Discouragement? Nobody said joy, did they? I mean, if I were to tell you this morning, you are going to have a trial this week. Nobody started clapping for that, did they? All right, going to have a trial this week in my life. Fantastic. Can't wait. That's not natural, is it? But that's what the Bible is telling us to do. That when we know that when we have a trial, a temptation, a struggle in our life, to count it for joy, that is not natural. But what we have to understand, it's not joy in the trial itself, but it's joy in what that trial can produce in our lives. Those are two different things. God doesn't expect us always to go through a trial and think, oh, this is great, I love this. But he wants us to look and understand what that can produce in our lives and have joy in that. Because struggle can produce something beautiful, can it? Isn't that the truth? I mean, think of even common things that we do all the time. You know, in the summer, a lot of you have gardens, right? We don't have a garden anymore. We used to have gardens. We haven't had one for several years. You know why we don't have a garden? What's that? Because we don't have kids. All right, that's part of it. But there are some other reasons we don't have a garden. It's a lot of work. You know, I like the planting part. You know, you get the tiller out there, you get it tilled up, you plant the seeds in nice rows. I always use the string because I like it just to be nice and measured, and everything's got to be just right. And you get it all planted. That part I'm great with. It's kind of what happens after that that I struggle with. Because what do you have to do after that? What happens if you just say, all right, I'm done with the garden, and next time I be out here, I'll be ready to pick all the produce from it? What happens? The garden wouldn't do good. The weeds take over, don't they? So what do you have to naturally do on a regular basis? Yeah, you have to go out there and weed. You know what? I don't like doing that. Why is it no fun to weed? It's work. It's hot. There's bugs and gnats that are annoying you in the midst of. There's nothing pleasant to me about doing that. But why then do people do it? How many of you have a garden? You guys are nuts. None of that's pleasant.
You're nuts.
Why do you do it then? Because what it produces, right? The fruits that happen at the end. That is why you do it. Do any of you do it because you enjoy weeding? I want to plant a garden so I can weed. I don't care about the produce. I just want to weed. Does anybody say that? No, it's the same thing what God is talking about here. It's not the trial that we are thinking, oh, I'm glad I'm in this trial. It's the knowing what it can produce in the end. That is where the joy is supposed to come from. Count it joy when you fall into trials and temptations. Look at what it says in verse 3, knowing this. So this is what you need to know, that the trying of your faith works or results in what?
Patience.
That trial, even though you don't like it, is going to produce something that is good for you in your life. That is why you can have joy. And you know, this isn't the only place. God's word, you know, from book to book, it just confirms itself, doesn't it? I want you to look, and this isn't going to be up here, I don't think, in Romans chapter 5. Look in Romans chapter 5. We were in Romans a little bit last week, too. These two books go together in numerous ways, but look in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Because there is a very similar sentiment that is expressed here. Romans 5, I'll give you a minute to find it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans.
1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians.
Yes, then 1st, 2nd Corinthians. Thank you, Annabelle. Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. And not only so, but we glory in what? Tribulations. What does it mean to glory in something? You celebrate it. We celebrate. We glory in tribulations. Again, not what comes natural. It's not the tribulation, it's what it produces. Knowing that tribulations work patience. Sound familiar? Isn't that what we just read in James? Tribulations produce patience. And patience produces what? Experience. And experience produces hope. But what does it all start with? Tribulation. That's the beginning of it all, isn't it? That tribulation, that trial that we go through, is something that we can joy in. It is something that we can celebrate. It is something that we can glory in, because in our lives it will produce patience. Now look back in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So patience has to have, it says, has to have her perfect work. What does that mean? For patience to have her perfect work. It means patience needs to do something in our lives. In Romans it says patience works experience. Isn't that what we just read? What is experience? What does that word mean? What's that? Learning something new? Anything else? What's that? Be educated on it. Experience is something we go through, right? You have experience in something. If you say, oh yes, I'm experienced in that, what does that mean? It means you've been through it. You've done it before. That's what being experienced means. And it says, after patience comes experience. Experience means you have a perspective on it, doesn't it? Because you've been there before. You've done it before. You know, if there's something new that I'm going to try or going to do, or even we went to some of the church, we golfed in a CPC golf outing a few weeks ago. When I get on the golf course, Ron, you were in my group. Where's Ron sitting? How's our golfing, Ron? We scored a lot. That's not good in golf if you don't know that. Doug was in a different group. Doug's group has a lot more of one word. Experience. I haven't golfed in 6 or 8 years before that. It'd been a long time. So what do you think my golfing looked like?
Rusty
is a generous view of what I call golfing. But it's because I'm not experienced enough in it. Doug is a much better golfer, but Doug golfs. And he enjoys it. And the more experience that he has the right perspective on what you need to do and how you need to view it and the actions that you need to take. It says patience produces experience. That means you've been there before, you've done it before. Your perspective is different. And that is how our perspective is so important, to have a right view of things, to have the correct view of the trials that we go through. The correct view of understanding the trials we go through are good for us. Because they do change our perspective. They give us a view of God's faithfulness. When you've been through a trial and you come out of it on the other side, how does that change your perspective? How does it change your perspective? You have a health situation in your life. You pray and you say, Lord, help me to get through this. You're scared. You're worried. God gets you through it. That was a trial. It was a tribulation. How does that change your perspective?
Makes you look at things differently.
Makes you look at things differently. How? How are you looking at things differently?
You learn by faith.
You're understanding, hey, God was faithful. God got me through that situation. So what does that mean when I face the next situation? I have a different perspective. This isn't new. I've been here before. I've done this before. I know that my God is going to continue to be faithful. That's a perspective that God wants us to have. Does that mean it's going to work out the way we want? Not necessarily. But does it mean that God is going to be working in the situation? Yes. That is the perspective that God wants us to have. Do we always have it? No. Because sometimes we lack some things, don't we? And that is exactly what verse 5 talks about. Look in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Do you lack wisdom?
Yes, everyone.
Raise your hand if you lack wisdom. All right. And I've talked this morning about things that are kind of a universal challenge for us as human beings or as Christians and believers. Patience is one of them. I also think wisdom is one of them. That we need to come to the understanding that we never get to the point where we have enough wisdom. We all need more of it. And it says very clearly, if we lack it, what do we need to do? Ask God. When's the last time you asked God for wisdom in your life? Every day. I hope we do.
I need it every day.
Because we do need it every day. Wisdom to have the right perspective on life. Wisdom to have the perspective that God wants us to have on life. Wisdom to know that when trials come, that's good because it works in us, gives us more patience, and it gives us more perspective. That's what wisdom is all about. And we need to pray that God continues to grow that and cultivate that in us, to have more patience so that we have a better perspective in life, the perspective that God wants us to have. And you know, as it goes down through this first chapter, it talks about some areas where we struggle with patience. And you may think the next section, because it talks some about wealth and wisdom. Look in verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because the flower of the grass shall pass away. It's talking about wealth. What does wealth have to do with any of this? Why is this in a chapter talking about patience? Any thoughts? What's that? We're all wealthy if we have Christ. Again, that's having the proper perspective, isn't it? The perspective to understand that wealth isn't what it's all about. The perspective to understand that any wealth you accumulate, what's going to happen to it? Okay, how many of you like to accumulate wealth? Be honest. Do you like your bank account to grow? That's what I'm asking. That's accumulating wealth, right? It's, you all look at me like, oh, don't accuse me of liking to accumulate wealth. No, that's normal. Watching our bank account grow, that's not a bad thing. As long as we keep it in perspective. That what you have in there is going to end. That's the perspective God wants us to have. And to have the patience to realize that there is something more long-term that we need to worry about. And that is our spiritual life. The treasures we can have, not now, but in heaven. The treasures that God has prepared for us. But do we have to have some patience for that to be realized? Yeah. Are we good at that? No. You know, we talk about little children not being patient. They want something and they want it now. You know, you tell them, I will give you this whole bag of candy in 3 hours, or you can have these three suckers right now. What are they going to pick? Probably the three suckers. Give me these three suckers right now. Because they want it now. That's something I can have right now. Well, I know I can get more later, but this is what I can get now. How often do we have that perspective? You know, we want this wealth we can have in this world. I can have it now and I can enjoy it. But God's saying, have that patience. Understand, I have better things for you. Not just in this earth, but waiting for you after you die. John 14, I was sharing it with someone that's approaching the end of their life just this week. John 14 says that he's preparing what for us? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That's in the future, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yes.
Unless you die today, I don't know, that could happen. But that's in the future. Do you have to have patience to realize that? Yes. Do you have to have perspective to understand that's more important than wealth we can have on this earth? Patience is so vital to give us the right perspective on life. That's how the wealth thing ties in. And then he talks about something else that has to do with patience. He says that God doesn't tempt anyone. It's what it says, right? What tempts us? Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own what? Lusts. What is lust really? Isn't it a lack of patience? I want what I want. And I'm going to get it now? Isn't that what lust is? Wanting something? Again, patience and wisdom are the key to understanding that. It's a lack of patience. So patience and perspective. But when we have those right, when we understand that the trials in our life, we understand they're going to produce patience, experience, and that experience is going to give us the right perspective. You know what that all leads to? It leads to the third one we talked about, and that's praise. When we have the right perspective on life, we are able to praise God in whatever circumstances we are in. We are able to have joy in the middle of tribulation. I always think of the apostles. You know, you think of when Peter and Silas, they were in jail and they were in chains, and what did they do? They praised God. Do you think that was easy for them? We're like, oh yeah, they're apostles, so sure that was easy. Do you think that was easy for them? Would you like being in chains? Would you like being in prison? No. So how were they able to praise God? Because they had the right perspective. They knew that trial in their life, that God would use that for their good. And that leads us to a verse you know I like quoting a lot, and that's verse 17. And this is where the praise comes in. Every good and every perfect gift is from where? How many good gifts do you have in your life? I know there's things you wish were different. I get it. How many good things do you have? Do you have people that love you? Say yes, because I love you if you're here. I'm a people, right? You got somebody who loves you. Do you have food to eat? Yeah. If you don't, let me know. I'll get you some. Do you have a place to live? Yeah. If you don't, let me know. We'll find you somewhere. Did you have a way to get here this morning?
Yes.
Do you have the health to be sitting here and listening right now?
Yes.
Did Jesus die for you?
Yes.
Folks, how many good gifts do we have?
A lot.
God gives us so many. Are we praising Him for them? Having perspective is also keeping your eyes set on the right thing, isn't it? Isn't that what perspective is all about? You know, I love to ride a motorcycle, and I've mentioned this before. One of the things they teach you, when there is something in the road and you're riding a motorcycle, what do you need to look at? Well, all right, I'll teach you something this morning. If you're riding a motorcycle and there's something in the road and you look at that something in the road, do you know what's going to happen? You're going to run over that something in the road. If that's what your eyes are on, that's where you're going to go. You want to avoid it, you know what you look at? You look at where you want to go. Don't get your eyes set on that thing you want to avoid. It's all about what your eyes are set on. Folks, that's the same thing here. What are our eyes set on? All the good things that God has given us? Or just those things we wish were different? What is our focus set on? Every good gift, and think of all the good gifts we have, every one of them, because it says every, is from who? God. So is He worthy of your praise? Every good gift. That covers a lot of things, but then it says right after that, and every what? Perfect gift. Do you know how many perfect gifts there are? Really, there's only one. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who was perfect, to become a man, to live on this earth, and to die for us so that we could have our sins forgiven. That is the perfect gift, isn't it? Isn't it? The gift that was needed the most, the gift that made a difference for all eternity, that gift was from our Father. And it says there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. That means our God does not change. He is a faithful God. Folks, this morning James talks about patience. When you have trials in your life, when you have struggles, you can set your eyes on those struggles and you know what? You're going to be discouraged. You're going to be frustrated. Instead of setting your eyes on those trials, set them on God. Set them on what God is going to do in your life through those trials. The experience and perspective that God is going to give you of His faithfulness. And when you do that, you know what? It's going to lead to praise. Patience, perspective, and praise. Think about those things in your life. Are they where God wants them to be? Let's pray together. Lord God, we just thank You again for this morning and for Your Word. And Lord, I thank You just for all the wisdom that it contains. And Lord, we often lack that wisdom. The wisdom to know that when trials come, it's not a bad thing. It may not be pleasant, but it's not bad for believers. Because those trials will produce experience and perspective in our lives to understand Your faithfulness. And it will lead to, Lord, the ability to praise You in all things. So, Lord, help us to develop that in our lives, to develop the patience, the perspective, and the praise that you want us to have to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This morning, as we close, the altar's open. If you have a need, come pray about it. Our God is a faithful God, and He will hear your prayer. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer. And this morning, if you have a trial, if you have a tribulation that you're going through in your life right now, I'd just ask if you'd raise your hand so we can pray for you this morning. If you have a trial, a struggle that you're going through in your life, just raise your hand this morning so we can pray about it together. Lord God, as we come to you, you see right now the hands that are raised. And Lord, it's just a testament to the fact that while we live on this earth, we have struggles, we have trials, we have tribulation. But Lord, for each hand that's raised, I pray that you'd give them the wisdom to understand that you're going to work in them through this struggle. That, Lord, that you are going to produce things in their life, that you will help produce that patience, that you will help produce that perspective in their lives that will lead to praise. So just work in their hearts, Lord. Help them through the trial. I know, Lord, you don't always see fit to remove the trial, but you see us through it. So just help them to know that you are a faithful God that will walk them through the trial. Thank you again, Lord, for your word. And I pray, Lord, that it just lives within our hearts and lives. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's family together said, amen. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful week. Don't forget, this coming Saturday is our movie night. I think it's Saturday, right? Saturday night.